Good morning. This is Mark Mays, pastor of Grace Baptist Church in Harrisonburg, Virginia. And once again, it's good to be with you this morning. Let's ask the Lord to help us as we spend a few moments together. Father, we are thankful, Lord, for this day. And Lord, I do pray this morning that you'd help me to be a help to those who are listening, sitting by the radio, or perhaps driving down the road. Lord, I want to be a help today. I want to be an asset, not a liability. And I'm asking you, Father, Lord, just help me to say the things that I'm going to say with the right attitude. Help me to say the truth. Help me, Father, just to share, Father, what it is you want me to share, Father, today from these biblical principles that we're going to look at. Give me wisdom, give me understanding, give me discernment. And Lord, help me to have the ability, or if you would, enable me this morning so that I can be a help to those that are listening, even to myself as I go through this. Lord, speak to my heart, challenge me, change me, because I certainly need to be challenged and changed every day. So Lord, help us this morning. Draw our time and attention to you here, and Lord, make it profitable for you and for ourselves and for others. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Proverbs 25, verse number 20. I'm going through the book of Proverbs looking for biblical principles for practical living, things that could help us each and every day. Some of these things we will have already been putting into practice, and of course that's a good thing. Some of these perhaps we are aware of, but haven't been practicing perhaps as God would have us. So in verse 20, the Bible says, "As he that taketh away a garment in cold weather, and as vinegar upon nitre, so is he that singeth songs to a heavy heart." Now when we look at this verse, it's got the idea of somebody who's suffering, somebody has a heavy heart. It doesn't necessarily tell us why he has a heavy heart, or she, but that they have a heavy heart. Perhaps a loved one has died. Perhaps they're under great financial stress. Perhaps they've received the news that they or a family member or close friend has an illness, a disease. Whatever the reason, they have a heavy heart. And it teaches us here that when we try to help that person with a heavy heart, if we choose the method of singing a song to lift them up out of this heaviness that they're experiencing, the Bible's teaching us that we're not doing them any good. We're not doing them a favor. As a matter of fact, God uses the analogy here as he that taketh away a garment in cold weather. In other words, if you sing a song to a person who is with a heavy heart, you're like a person who's walking up to an individual during a time of cold weather, and you're pulling away that garment that they're hiding under or seeking comfort under. You're not doing that person any favor by taking their blanket away in the cold. And you're not doing anybody a favor when you begin to sing songs to a person with a heavy heart. The intentions are good, but the method is flawed. And so God is reminding us here, when somebody is suffering, somebody is having a heavy heart, you know, we would probably do them more service if we would have a heavy heart with them. And God is basically saying to us here, we need to be careful how we try to help someone of a heavy heart. Every once in a while, we see somebody trying to encourage their friend by being giddy. They're being extra playful, they're full of fun and laughter, and their attempt is to help the friend to get over that tough time they're going through. And their effort is commendable, their desires certainly are commendable, but their effect, according to the scripture here, is not going to be as commendable or as effective as they would like it be. You're taking the garment away from a person during the cold time. You're not being of good service. And so God would remind us, here's a practical lesson. You know somebody who's suffering? Who among us hasn't known somebody who is of a heavy heart? Perhaps even this morning, you got somebody in your mind right now, somebody with a heavy heart, and you want to be an encouragement to them. You've been thinking, what could I do for them? And you may have thought, well, I'll be extra happy among them, and I'll tell them how bright the sun is shining today, and look how pretty the flowers are, and I'll make them think of all the pretty things and all the good things, and that'll help them. And God bless you for having a good attitude of trying to help. But we need to be careful. We need to be careful how we try to assist those with a heavy heart. May God give us wisdom and discernment in this area. Let's move on down to verses 21 and 22. The Bible says, "If thy enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat. And if he be thirsty, give him water to drink. For thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head, and the Lord shall reward thee." Now here's a principle that, this is hard here. It's easy to talk about, but it's difficult to do. The Bible says, "If thy enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat. If he be thirsty, give him water to drink." Now our human nature is this. When our enemy's hungry and our enemy is thirsty, we want to give him something, all right, but it's not a piece of bread and some water to drink. We want to give him a knot on the head, and we want to give him a smack upside the head. That's our human nature, our fallen human nature. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verses 17 through 21, "Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thy enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." Even Paul gets in on this, and he's reminding us through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that our attitude toward our enemy ought to be one of feeding and meeting the needs that they have instead of getting back, getting even. No, that's God's job. And God will, in his own time and method, deal with our enemies. Our responsibility, our biblical principle, is to turn the other cheek, go the second mile, give him some bread to eat and some water to drink. Help meet his needs. In Romans chapter 24, 17, the Bible says, "Rejoice not when thine enemy falleth, and let not thy heart be glad when he stumbleth." Now, most of us that are listening, I think if we'll be honest with ourselves, most of us would have to admit when those who have been our enemies have fallen and things, they got their comings up, as we would say. There was sort of inside of us a sense of satisfaction, like, good, he deserved that, and I hope he gets some more. Maybe that'll teach him a lesson. Boy, probably many of us have said something like that. Many of us have perhaps thought something like that. Boy, it's easy to say, if your enemy be hungry, feed him. If he be thirsty, give him the drink. Well, it's an altogether different story when it comes time to doing it. And yet, this is a biblical principle for practical living. And so, if we would let this be our reaction or our response, we would be following biblical principle. But when we retaliate and we recompense evil for evil, we're certainly not following biblical principles. And so God is teaching us here that this is what God expects us. In Exodus chapter 23, the Bible says, "If thou meet thy enemy's ox or his ass going astray, thou shalt surely bring it back to him again. If thou see the ass of him that hateth thee lying under his burden, and wouldest forbear to help him, thou shalt surely help." Thou shalt surely help. God says, listen, we don't have the right to get even. We have the right only to do right. Matthew chapter 5, verse 44, "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." I wonder this morning if there is somebody who's listening in the last week or two or month that you have an enemy. And boy, your enemy's been rubbing it in your face. And they've been, boy, I tell you what, they've been just a blister on your side. And they have been wearing you out. And you've been struggling with how to respond. You've been struggling. Perhaps you have been successful by obeying this principle. Perhaps you have not. But even if you have been successful, and I pray that you have been and that you will be, I dare say the old flesh wants you to do just the opposite. It wants you to yield to the fleshly temptation, get even. And if you haven't, praise the Lord for that. If you have, ask the Lord to forgive you. Ask the Lord to enable you so that you wouldn't do that. And all of us that are listening, know whereof I speak this morning. And it's easily said, but it's not as easily done. And yet that is the biblical principle that God would have us to obey for practical living. May God give us wisdom and discernment with this principle as well. Let's move down to verse number 23. The Bible says, "The north wind driveth away rain, so doth an angry countenance a backbiting tongue." Here's an interesting verse to me. The north wind driveth away rain. And it talks about a backbiting tongue and how that an angry countenance drives it away. That's the idea. The principle here is fairly obvious, I think. And it simply is this. We can, the principle seems to be that we can assist with stopping backbiting by the displaying of an angry attitude that we show against those who engage in such such actions. Silence, which would be either doing nothing or saying nothing, here would suggest a condoning of the activity. And as such, we should attempt to persuade those engaged in this backbiting activity, you know, you need to stop that. We need to meet it with a face of disfavor, if you would. It would appear here that even simply a look that sometimes we can give people can be effective in sending the message, hey, I'm not interested in that. You need to stop that. You need to knock that off. That's right. That's not right. We're not going to have that here. You know, as long as we don't do anything, as long as we don't say anything contrary to a backbiting tongue, then that person, well, thinks, well, I guess you want to hear more. Let me tell you what else. You think that's bad? Let me tell you this. But, you know, if they were to be met with this facial feature, if you would, of a countenance that says, you know what, I'm really not happy with this. I really don't want you to say any more, and I want you to stop it. They might end up stopping a lot sooner as opposed to us not saying anything and not doing anything. I wonder how many, if you would, gossip sessions have lasted a lot longer than they needed to be. And of course, any of it's longer than it needs to be. But it lasted longer than it would have lasted had you or I looked at them with that tone in our voice. As my mother would say, son, don't look at me in that tone of voice. If we would look at them in that tone of voice which says, you know what, I want you to stop it and stop it now. I don't want to hear it. You know, that's a biblical principle. Somebody says, well, that would be unkind. No, that would be being godly. That would be being right. We shouldn't put up with that. We shouldn't endure it. We shouldn't entice the person to tell us more with that look on our face like, oh, my goodness, really? What else did they do? No, we should have that look at, you know what? This is really upsetting me, and I don't want to hear any more. You need to stop it and stop it right now. And God has given us a biblical principle. Nonverbal communication here is what it is. An angry countenance is nonverbal communication. The body language that says, I've heard enough, I don't want to hear any more, just stop it, let's change the subject. And may God help us again here to have wisdom and learn not to entice those to keep on with their gossiping, keep on with their backbiting tongue by having an absence of an angry countenance. That's a biblical principle that we would be better having obeyed. Let's get it one more real quick. Verse number 25, the Bible says, as cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. As cold water to a thirsty soul. Most of us know what it is to drink deeply from a cold water. Boy, you've been out working. You say, well, I like cold tea. I like cold lemonade. I don't guess it really matters what it is. Cold water, tea, lemonade, whatever it is, that refreshing sense that you get after a hard few moments of work or hours of work, and boy, you drink deeply, so you think, oh my goodness, that tastes so good, that is so refreshing. Well, you know, the Bible says, so is good news from a far country. You know, it's natural for us to desire to hear good news from our friends or about our friends, and we benefit from that, do we not? So here's a thought about this. You know, we ought to live in such a way that when our friends hear about us, that they are going to be refreshed. Because what will be said about us is, oh man, they're doing great. They're in church, they're serving the Lord, they've got a happy home, a happy marriage, things are going well. Man, it's such a blessing. And then the person who hears that says, you know what, oh, that is so good to hear. Man, that just blesses my heart. All of us have been on the end of the conversation like this where it hasn't been good news. How is so-and-so? Have you heard from them? Have you talked to them? Oh, you know, things, and it's just not good. They've gone the wrong way in their homes. And we hear those things, and we say, oh, that is so sad. I can't. That is so, that all that bothers me. We can all relate to this. You know, you can't stop what you're going to hear about what somebody else has done, but you can make sure that when somebody hears about you, that news will be refreshing. You know, we ought to live right because God deserves us to live right. He wants us to live right. It's the right thing to do. We ought to live right because it's going to help us. It's going to be beneficial to us. But we ought to live right because we know that somebody, somewhere, at some point in time is going to say, hey, did you hear about or have you heard from so-and-so, and they're talking about you? And that person can say, oh, yeah, let me tell you, man, they're doing great. And that'll be like a nice drink of cold water to a thirsty soul to that person, and you'll be a blessing. And may God help us to take this principle, to live in such a way that we are of a help. Proverbs 15:30 says, the light of the eyes rejoices the heart, and a good report maketh the bones fat. Don't you want somebody to be able to give a good report about you? This principle will help us do that. In Romans 10:15, how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace, to bring glad tidings of good things. And I wanted to bring that verse out, that phrase there, to bring glad tidings of good things. You know, may God help us to live in such a way that somebody could bring glad tidings of good things about us, and we could be a source of refreshment to that thirsty soul. I hope you see what I'm trying to say here. A good biblical principle. May God help us to glean the wisdom from it. May He help us mostly to live it and to be a help to others. Well, we've looked at some principles this morning, and I trust you've been blessed. I trust you've been challenged, but mostly I trust that we'll all say, Lord, I need these principles in my heart, my life. Help me, God. I could do a better job, and Lord, I need you. Enable me this morning, Lord, to live these biblical principles out. I want to be a blessing to others. I want to be a blessing to you, Lord. And so, God, help me this day. I hope you will. I'm sure He'll help you. I thank you for listening, and you have a great day.